table.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
Equality.
Equality.
Remedy.
Protection.
Fairness.
Fair trial.
Right.
Work.
Peace.
Movement.
This is my mistake. Let me make it good. I raise the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum,
identity,
family,
home,
conscience,
expression,
participation,
democracy,
welfare,
work,
leisure,
health,
education,
focus,
culture,
human rights,
Cartagena,
solidarity.
Fill in the border. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM and over the internet at cjtr.ca. We can also be heard on Sastel Max at channel 806 and Access Communications Digital Service at channel 700. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We are building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings. I got to figure out who I am here. My name is Jim Hutchings, and with me today are special guests Jill Arnott, Emily Pasiak, Maria Ammon, Chelsea Real, and Lonnie Elliott. And we're going to have some discussions about events important to and about women. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's kind of crowded in here, but we're going to do what we're going to do is we're going to just sort of we're going to do one thing at a time, and we'll start off with Jill. So, what are we going to talk about today?
We were originally going to talk about a health fair that we're having at the university. Mm-hmm. We were going to have it this coming week in order to sort of mark International Women's Day. However, there are so many events going on in this city for International mm-hmm. Women's Day this year that we're going to bump ours back by a couple of weeks, which is just fine. It's great that there are so many organizations participating in hosting events this year. So,
mm-hmm. So what sort of things are we looking at that have bumped you out of the way?
It's just all of our organizations, it seemed like, there's luncheons, there's speakers, Planned Parenthood is involved, mm-hmm. PADS is involved, Daughters of Africa are hosting something. So we don't like to kind of overlap too much and take away from, right? It's nice mm-hmm. to be able to support what other organizations are doing. Sometimes we partner up. Mm-hmm. This year, we decided to just kind of do something on campus, but if we can support, you know, each other's initiatives, that's a little bit better, and I'm perfectly happy to bump ours back a little bit so that everybody can participate.
Well, when it actually happens, what are you going to be sort of focusing on?
So I think sometimes it's hard for students on campus to know where to go to access various and sundry services to address, I don't want to say issues, but just health concerns that they might be facing. And we look at health from a holistic perspective. So we're going to have just a vendor fair. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to have community organizations that we've spoken to, as well as on-campus organizations that can help students to deal with health holistically, right, and address a number of needs. So we have some naturopaths, some alternative healing modalities, some various and sundry counseling services, different agencies that students can access, like I said, both on and off campus, to provide a little bit of direction, help students deal with the stresses of both student life and just personal life, right, as they move through various and sundry phases of their adult life.
Mm-hmm. Is this going to focus mainly on women, or is it going to be males as well?
No, this is a health fair in general, right? So we chose to do it for International Women's Day. We like mm-hmm. to do something every year to mark it, but the Women's Center provides services to all students on campus, and so we have them that access our services and that come to the center, and for the most part, we try for our events to be accessible and relevant for all students on campus. So, I mean, we're hoping to have the Bodhi tree. Any kind of a health service, though, is really mm-hmm. that would be accessible to all students.
Yeah, I can see where it would be particularly useful, especially if you've got out-of-town students coming in and they're away from their family physician. And I know just having moved here to Regina, mm-hmm. I'm getting closer to having a family physician, but it's been tough.
That's just it. And I think, too, lots of times students are encountering health-related concerns for the first time, things they maybe haven't dealt with before. Not everybody's comfortable going to a walk-in clinic, or maybe somebody is looking to deal with stresses in their life in a different kind of way, right? And so that's why we've chosen to have naturopaths, yoga, counselors, right? Things that don't always involve sort of the traditional idea mm-hmm. of a medical approach. Well, that is important as well. There are lots of things that people can do to sort of manage the stresses in their lives and to enhance their health. And so I think lots of times people just don't know where to go, right, or where to even to sort of start. So the idea is that there will be brochures and people to talk to, and students mm-hmm. Who wander through will be able to take away and have a little backpack full of tricks and tips and numbers, kind of, right, contacts, places to start. So and on that front, I think, too, it's important students who are enrolled in the health plan don't always know what their health plan covers, right? And so this way they'll have a chance to ask some questions and maybe find out that some things are available to them that they weren't aware of, right, that are covered under health plans. So,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you find that it's more female students than male students that actually come, or...
We actually haven't had a health fair before, or not for a number of years,
okay.
And not like this. So I'll be interested to see. It's going to be in sort of a main area of campus. We had tentatively booked our rescheduling now, right? But we did have the RIC atrium, and so busy hallway where people wander through. And so I'm hoping that we'll have a really good turnout and students who, like I said, come away with some knowledge that they didn't have before about mm-hmm. how they can enhance and manage their health.
Yeah, and when you think about it, probably a really valuable thing, because as you're growing up, it's the average person isn't even, when you're young, you don't think about your health.
Absolutely. You know? There's lots of stuff you don't consider, right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden you find yourself dealing with things you haven't dealt with before, thinking mm-hmm. about things you haven't, and just like I said, not necessarily knowing where to even start, right? How do you even open the phone book when you don't mm-hmm. know what you're looking for, right? How do you find somebody if you don't know what they're called or how much they cost or whatever, right? And so the idea really is that students will have a whole wide array of info and practitioners sort of available to them mm-hmm. and be able to find some things maybe that are a good fit for them that they weren't aware of before, and just some places to start, right, exploring ways to take care of their health. It's not about waiting until you're sick or have, mm-hmm. you know, some sort of emotional breakdown. This is about really just caring for your whole self,
right?
And having some resources to do so.
Mm-hmm. Would there be any kind of emphasis on... or discussion about, say, sexual activity, because you've got basically students are becoming adults, and if they haven't been, or maybe they have been sexually active when they're in high school, just starting off, and
one of the organizations we really wanted to have there was Planned Parenthood. We partner with them on a lot of events, and they were otherwise obligated, and so specifically because of the population that we serve, I feel like they're a really important organization. They provide a wide variety of services related to sexual and reproductive health, and lots of stuff that many people, particularly maybe students who are away from home for the first time, lots of info that some people would not have had access to before, you know? And so, and that aspect of your health is really important to take care of, because when you're young, you might not think about some of those things, but as you approach the time in your life when you might be considering having children, right, and settling down, there are things that come into play that you haven't considered or hadn't thought about. And so the earlier that we can get information out to people so that they are able to be proactive in caring for their sexual health, the better.
Yeah. Do you have any pushback on that from any other organizations? Like, oh, we shouldn't be talking about that?
No, we don't hear a lot of that. I specifically this year think it's important. There's been a lot of conversation in the past year around consent and sexual assault and lots of media here and in the States, right? Lots of stuff about what goes on university campuses. And so, again, for us, this is about being proactive and knowledge is power, right? And we want our students to be empowered to take care of themselves and to be able to make good choices and to know what their choices are.
Just going down that road a little bit further, I think that it's the whole idea of consent and taking it past the no means no thing, the whole idea of having the conversation, that's kind of new.
It is new, and I think given what has come to light in the last year, particularly here in Canada, we've had some things. The States has also had some fairly big media stuff come up about what is happening on campuses and just how big of a problem it is, this, whether it's, you want to call it rape culture or the absence of a conversation around consent or sexual assault and what that means. It is really important to have a conversation about what consent looks like, what healthy sexual relationships look like, and how you engage in them so that you're not committing criminal acts, so that people are feeling like they're both engaged and both are empowered to make, you know, healthy decisions for themselves. Rataya Parsons is one of the young women that we lost from Nova Scotia, and news just broke yesterday that somebody had been arrested for tampering with her dad's website, suggesting that the sexual assault that would ultimately lead to her suicide was consensual. The fact that we are still having that kind of behavior go on, where somebody wants this is a young woman who is dead, and in the aftermath, the dad of one of the boys who is charged is tampering with a website to suggest that it's not true. That's horrifying, and that does suggest that we need to be making sure that this conversation stays on the table, that it stays in the media spotlight, that we are talking about it, regardless of whether it makes people uncomfortable. And so, you know, at the Women's Center, we try really hard to make sure that these things stay in the forefront and make sure that, like I said, our students are as empowered as possible to be making good choices.
Yeah, well, I think it's very much a cultural thing. So that means that you're kind of swimming upstream on this.
You know? We are, for sure, I think, swimming upstream. The same is true of schools in the States, though, as well, right? UVirginia has been under fire this year. Obama has taken some steps to have some schools investigated for these, you know, rape culture that seems to be prevalent on campuses there that he's identified. I know at the U of R, we, you know, had a campaign in the fall called Man Up Against Violence. So, and this is, you know, one aspect of, you know, discussing what healthy masculinity looks like and what male violence looks like. This is one aspect of that. And so this is something that has been on the radar and on our agenda and that, you know, has been addressed at the U of R in a number of capacities over the last year that we've really been trying to highlight and keep out there. And so this is just, you know, one more way to do that, to provide the education and in a way that is maybe less threatening to some people. Some people are really offended by the idea of rape culture and feel like it's a personal attack. And, you know, unfortunately, it's a personal attack against the people who are victims, right? This is not, nobody else needs to be feeling attacked. We can't change what we don't acknowledge. And so we need to be having the conversation. We need to acknowledge where we're at and what our culture around sexuality and female sexuality in particular looks like so that we can create a world where young women can feel safe.
Yeah. I don't know. I would disagree slightly in that I think that really serious changes have to be made in the way male sexuality is thought of as well.
Absolutely. You know? They exist in a dialectic, right? As one changes, so does the other. But at this point, and the reason I say that we need to reconceive female sexuality is because it's conceived of as being dangerous and dirty and in need of control. And I think then the flip side of that is that male sexuality becomes about controlling and dominating and subverting. And so if we can reconceive of either one, you know, the other will change. I highlight female sexuality simply because it's the one that gets put on the stand most often. And so if we're able to use what's already in the spotlight, kind of, and reconfigure that in a more positive way, then so too will the other change. Because male sexuality in and of itself isn't dominating, isn't about subverting, isn't about power over. That's just a construction, the same way that female sexuality isn't dirty, dangerous, or chaotic and in need of control. It's just a construction. We have the power to reconceive those things if we choose to.
Yeah, I think it's something that won't happen by itself.
Nope.
And you really, even everybody involved with this has to just keep on going, because although there are improvements happening, there's always going to be that attitude out there that, oh, this is something we shouldn't be talking about. And what always makes me kind of laugh is you'll have, community leaders, whether clergy or whether they're in school or whatever position they happen to be in, they say, oh, she'd leave this with the parents. And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That ain't going to work.
I was invited out to a high school in the fall to speak and about rape culture and sexual assault, and the students at high school had to get permission to be present. And in my estimation, if you don't sign it, if your children are not allowed to participate, you're doing a disservice to them, putting them at risk, right? That's just my opinion, but I don't think it's fair to deny people access to information, especially young people who are living in a world where this stuff is prevalent. It's everywhere they go. And it's, you know, and I take heart in the classes that I teach and the young men that I encounter, because so often when we get around to talking about masculinity and sexuality and what this stuff looks like and how it plays out, they're astounded, right, to discover that the world that they've been living in isn't exactly how they thought, to see that the jokes and the, you know, the sort of culture around this is harmful, and are always very interested in learning how they can participate in creating change. And I think with this generation, we've got a new generation that's far more open, that is aware of how prevalent sexuality is in the world that they live in. It's all over social media. And so once they see it or once they hear it, they're willing and interested and engaged, right? They want to participate in change. And that makes me feel like, you know, we're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, if you look at popular media, like every once in a while, from a distance, I'm looking at music videos. Yep. And I'm looking at that, what is going on? You know, how do you get any kind of reasonable attitudes about sexual activity by watching that stuff?
Yeah.
You know, so I can see where young, if you come in contact with young men, they're going to be happy, really, to have somebody who's talking some common sense.
Yep. And I thought, you know, it was interesting that Obama took the opportunity during the Grammys this year to address gender-based violence, violence against women and girls, and called on the musicians to call on their fans to participate in making change, right, at itsonus.org. I actually posted it on my Facebook and just said, like, well done, and had a lot of backlash. It was shocking about, you know, why aren't we talking about violence against men, and why do you only talk about violence against men? All I said was, like, good job, Obama, right, for, like, putting it out there. Also, but, like, why are you so threatened? We don't talk about violence against men. I'm just sharing the news. Like, if the news offends you, I'm super sorry. Gender-based violence is about violence against women and girls. That's it. Men experience violence at the hands of other men, just like women and girls do, right? But again, it's that investment in a cultural ideal makes people feel really uncomfortable. It was alarming, and there are people that I've known my whole life. Men can be victims, for sure.
Yeah.
It's just that
it happens.
Women are not the majority of the perpetrators, right? Women can be, they just are not the majority. And so, again, lots of this stuff makes people feel uncomfortable. And I think, you know, a friend of mine, Morningstar Mercury, said, you know, then go ahead and get uncomfortable. And I think that those are, you know, sort of wise words. If it means we're uncomfortable, then that's fine. But it doesn't mean this conversation we shouldn't be having. In fact, it's just the you know, opposite
just
is
the
true.
Opposite. Yeah.
If we're that uncomfortable, it's something we need to be investigating.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Yep.
It's like when you're dieting or exercising. Oh, it hurts.
Yep.
Well, that means something's happening. You know.
Growth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Good analogy.
Right. Yeah. Boy, that took up a bit of time. What other topics do you end up finding people are interested in at health fairs? Or I guess you said that this is, you haven't done this for a while.
This is the first one in a while, so we'll see. we get a lot of sort of like self-care, I guess, is the, you know, is a big thing. And it really is about learning to be proactive about your health. That you're not waiting for the crisis, right? So that you're managing yourself as well as you can all the way along so that you don't fall down and you don't fall into some sort of hole. And so, like I said, stuff around physical activity, yoga, stress relievers, right? Alternative modalities that maybe you hadn't explored before. Just ways to keep, you know, your body operating and your mind and your spirit operating at sort of its optimum as you move through, you know, university, which is often stressful, learning how to balance things and, you know. So we'll see. I guess we'll have a better idea, you know, in a couple of weeks of maybe what we want to be pursuing or if we're going to host one again, you know, what to highlight. But we're hoping to have just a really well-rounded group of vendors this year so that we have a little bit of everything.
I can see why that would be a really useful conversation, too, just sort of paying attention to what's going on with your body. Because if you're sick, maybe you shouldn't just go to bed and ignore it.
Absolutely,
you
right?
know? If it gets worse... Maybe you should talk to somebody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I think we miss some of those signs, right? Because we are so busy, and university is demanding, and lots of parents or lots of students are juggling being a parent and, you know, other things. And so, like I said, just having some access to some information can maybe perhaps help some students to think about their health in a different kind of way and what the care of their health, can look like.
So are some of the people at this health fair, are they going to be people who will be under normal circumstances available to these students should somewhere down the road they decide they need to talk to somebody?
Yeah, so we have some on-campus services, like counseling services will be there. We will be there on the Aboriginal Student Society. We also, though, like I said, we'll have some off-campus. So Jade Health will be there, I think, Planned Parenthood, some naturopaths will be there. And that's something that's covered under your health plan, right? Naturopathic services, in part, are covered by most health plans, actually. And so a student would be free to pick up the phone at any time and make that consult if they chose to, once they know that it's available to them, right? So we're hoping that will be the case, right?
So you're anticipating fairly good attendance at this?
That's the hope. Like I said, it's a busy hallway, and we're going to, you know, really sort of plug it and advertise it as much as possible, but also we're hoping for a lot of drop-in sort of foot traffic.
So this is why you've pushed it back a little, so there's less conflict?
Less conflict, and it's just not nice to compete with other events if you don't have to, and we don't have to. So we just decided that we would, have it at a bit of a different time, push back a little bit so that people don't feel so stretched so thin. And it allows us to participate, for the organizations, to participate in each other's events as well, which is always nice.
Yeah. Do you do anything, or are you thinking about doing anything like this more at the beginning of a school year than now, or is there really not that much difference?
Well, it's hard to say. We've had some stuff at the beginning of the September semester, which is just it's such a crazy time at the university. September is bananas, and then by October students are getting into midterms. So we try to host things a little bit later in the semester, in the fall, and then throughout the winter semester if we can, because, like I said, the beginning of a fall is just crazy. It's chaos out there, it seems like. So we like students to have an opportunity to really, after getting into the gears, after being away for the summer, to have a chance to kind of settle in. So, and I think where health is concerned, it kind of doesn't matter when that stuff comes up, right? It's about having the tools. So, like I said, we'll see how it goes. We haven't done this for a while, so we'll see how this one goes.
I guess in general terms, you could kind of say this is going to help students de-stress, sort of, because there's many issues that are going to stress them out, and it's going to affect their health. How do you deal with them?
That's the hope, right? That it will provide some tools and some tricks, right? That they'll take away a little backpack full of tips and tools and contacts for how they can maybe do a better job of managing their stress so that they don't find themselves getting sick or, you know, super run down or falling into a bit of a crisis, being proactive and doing some preventative, sort of healing stuff that can maybe, you know, keep you operational.
What sort of stuff do you and your staff actually sort of do on a daily basis then at your office?
We have a really busy student center, and so we spend a lot of time interacting with students. We also participate with a lot of other on-campus right now. It's off-campus sometimes too, but organizations and various things that are happening. So, like I said, in the fall there was the Man Up campaign. We also hosted Vandana Shiva. We had Jackson Katz here. this semester now, there's a big conversation going on with different faculty members and organizations around sexual assault and how, what do we do moving forward?
Mm-hmm.
How do we address this, right? The news, that we've been on the news a number of times about this as well. And so this semester, the big push really has been meetings and talking about what we can do to strategize to sort of better address issues around sexual assault and consent. We've got some really awesome stuff in the works for fall that we're working on, which I can't tell you about now, but I will eventually.
Okay.
So we do a lot of planning, right, for the semesters to come and events that we're hosting, you know, throughout the semester. And then, like I said, sort of meeting and participating with other departments or faculty on campus and then organizations off campus, depending on what happens, you know, to be going on in a particular mm-hmm. semester, a particular year.
Right. So some
we do
of
a lot
it,
of counseling, though, as well.
Yeah.
And so we're involved in this sort of health approach also. And it's one of the reasons why it's an area of interest for us and why we decided to host a health fair, because students do come to talk to us about how to deal with some of this stuff, mm-hmm. right?
So it's a combination of what walks in your door and then planning ahead to see what you can do to sort of make things happen to avoid the problems.
Yeah, and to provide, you know, education and for sure. And really, kind of it's day by day. It depends on what walks through the door a lot. So,
I was actually just going to comment on, like, the Women's Center in general. Like, I just feel like one of the really important things that I loved about it, like, as a student, was just kind of, like, the safe space.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like, you know, there's no judgment there. It's just, like, a really like-minded group of people that kind of consistently go there, people like Jill and her staff members. So, like, with regards to the health fair, it's just like, that's just, you know, information, and sometimes people don't feel comfortable talking to strangers, but there's always, you know, people in the Women's Center that can kind of introduce you to just what is available on campus. So I've been a student for 5 years, and I literally just found out that there was a clinic in the school. Don't ask me how I didn't know that. It's right next to the gym, and I do go to the gym. I just didn't know this. So it's just things like that that say, hey, you can find out about your health very easily. You know, I always made excuses. Okay, it's off campus, I don't have time, I have a full-time job. And just kind of being introduced to these things are really important. So,
let's finish off with details. When is this going to happen now?
So the hope is that it'll be on Thursday, March 19th. We just have to confirm our booking. And it'll be from about 10 to 3:30, right? Vendors will set up, come for 9 and set up, and then mm-hmm. it'll go throughout the afternoon. Things start to wind down at the university, get a little bit quiet around 3:30-ish or 4. And so vendors will stay for you know, sort of the middle chunk of the day and be there to answer questions and, you know, provide referrals or whatever throughout the day. So we invite anybody can come, right? But it's a...
So you'll have posters when everything is finalized?
Yeah, then we have one ready to go, but we just made the decision yesterday
mm-hmm.
to switch the date, and so now we'll sort of switch things up and then send our information out so that people can access it, and it'll be posted on our Facebook page, the U of R Women's Center Facebook page. We'll have that information available as well.
Great.
So, yeah.
Okay, well, we've come to the end of the first half hour here. That was
awesome.
Great.
Thanks for having us.
And great to have you here. Great to have this conversation. And we got some music that you've picked. This is, I think, yours and my favorite.
Yeah, it's a standard, I think, when I'm here.
Tracy Chapman, talking about revolution. So we're going to play that right after our break. And so, Jill, you've got things to do and places to go and people to see. So you're gonna disappear.
We're going to blast, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you
so
very much.
So thank you very much for being here. And we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment line. For a promotion, don't you know? Talking about a revolution sounds dismal. Who are people gonna rise up and get their share? Who are people gonna rise up and take what's theirs? Don't you know you better?
the doorsteps of the armies of salvation. Wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Talking about a revolution, oh, oh, no. Talking about a revolution, oh, oh, no. Talking about a revolution, oh, oh, no.
What a voice. We were just talking about Tracy here, and she's got an amazing voice, and she's an amazing songwriter and amazing singer. That just wonderful. We don't hear enough from her, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
Yeah. Before we carry on, and it was great having Jill here.
Yeah.
Boy, she knows her stuff, and she'll tell you. Before we carry on here, though, we're going to we'll talk about some more women's stuff. I want to talk about the CJTR 2015 Look and Listen Lottery. And this year, we're not going to New York. We're going to London. Yeah, we are going to London. It's a grand prize, trip for two to London, England. Return airfare for two, four-star hotel for 7 nights, full-day sightseeing tour of London, including Buckingham Palace, a cruise down the River Thames, and more. London rock music tour, including Abbey Road, Paul McCartney's office, Pink Floyd studios, and more. Two tickets to Michael Jackson's Thriller musical in the West End, plus $1,000 cash to spend any way you want.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. We have people really excited about this. I've had people ask me for tickets. That's never happened before. Yeah. Second prize is a $1,000 travel voucher from Carlson Buck and Lee Rickert Travel. Third prize is Regina Folk Festival 2015 experience. You get 2 weekend passes to the Folk Festival in the summer, plus some vendor coupons for the food court and arts market. Now, the tickets are only $20. We're only going to sell 1,200 of them, and the draw date is May 7th. So, I don't know, we may sell these tickets out because there's so much interest. So you should get your ticket really soon.
I want one.
Yeah.
Me too.
I'm taking
it. You can get them here at the CJTR offices at 1102 8th Street, here in the mighty GMC building. Or you can call the radio station at 525-7274 during regular office hours, please, Monday through Friday. And if you want to pay by credit card, you can... You can order tickets at Look and Listen Lottery at cjtr.ca or call the station. For more information about the rules of play or prizes, go to www.cjtr.ca. And like I say, I've got lots of people interested. And I had someone at work ask me, well, have you got tickets? No, but I can get some. So I brought tickets next time. He bought a ticket, and then two other people bought tickets. And so those tickets are starting to fly out the door here, so don't be disappointed. Get your ticket now. Anyway, onward and upward here. We're going to talk now about the Vagina Monologues, and they have been happening now for a while. How long has it been since they've started?
I think this is our seventh year.
Seventh year.
Yeah.
Okay. So how long, let's reintroduce people here. We've got Lonnie Elliott, Chelsea Real, and Maria Aman. Yes.
Hello.
And Chelsea and Lonnie, you two have been involved in sort of organizing and sort of recruiting for this performance for the last couple of years?
Producing, directing, rounding up actresses, and basically putting everything together and hoping for a good show. And mm-hmm. It's been fabulous so far. We've sold out the last couple of years.
I'd have to say anybody that hasn't been should go.
Yes.
You know. It's kind of hard to describe. I'll let you describe, Chelsea. Or will it Lonnie describe? If someone goes to see the Vagina Monologues performance, what are they going to hear?
Well, the show itself actually takes you on this
wild roller coaster of emotion. There are some parts of the show that have you literally, you know, roaring in your seats. It's absolutely hilarious. And then there are other parts of the show that the entire show actually touches on some very sensitive subjects. And so there are pieces of the show that will bring you to tears mm-hmm. and will shock you. And that's the idea behind it, is to elicit that kind of emotion. And because it's that kind of emotion that brings that passion about the topic forward, right? And it gets people activated mm-hmm. and motivated to make positive change.
I know when I've gone, there's a lot of laughter.
Yes.
There is a lot of laughter because, let's face it, we're not talking about vaginas very often, are we?
No.
It's a very taboo word.
Yes, we don't talk about it. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
So some of it's funny. Like you say, some of it's pretty sad, actually.
Yes.
I would think that the majority of it, though, I would call joyful.
Yes.
Would you agree?
I definitely agree. I think... Yeah. The whole purpose of the show is about empowerment. It's about the empowerment of women, and that's where the joy comes from. And with the stories that we tell, these are all real stories. These stories were a collection of stories that Eve Ensler put together from interviewing women from all over the world. And we honor all of these women in sharing these stories.
Mm-hmm. Are there any sort of updates along the way, or has basically the program stayed the same over the years?
It basically stays the same. There's a couple of monologues that are added. Some of them are taken out, but all the important ones are still in there.
Mm-hmm. But the actors change.
Yes.
So have you had any... Do you have problems recruiting, or do people line up for the chance, or... perform?
No, actually, we don't have a hard time finding them. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, there's a set group of us, and every year we have a couple people who can't do it, and every year we have new people coming in, so there's support behind it, 100%.
I can say for sure, it was my first year participating in the Vagina Monologues and being kind of an actress last year, and I think it really made me want to do it after I attended the Vagina Monologues the year prior, and it just looked like so much fun. It was something mm-hmm. that I wanted to be a part of. But I think a lot of the time, it's great that, you know, it's easy for people to want to come out and participate, but sometimes people are uncomfortable, you know, talking about these things in their vaginas, I guess. So I think this is a really good way to, you know, build up your confidence and kind of talk about a subject that's really not that scary. It's just... a part of your body.
The body part is like saying arm or leg.
Exactly.
I was just thinking, though, that participating in this, being part of the cast, you'd have to have a pretty special camaraderie develop in the course of putting this together and performing it.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a fun time doing it, and it's, you know, as Lani said, it's a great way to empower women. It's a fun way to go about it. Without the man-hating feminism.
And the wonderful thing about it is we have had like the same group of women over a number of years come together, and we all look forward to the rehearsals, we all mm-hmm. look forward to the shows, and it gives us all an opportunity to get together and to share our lives and our stories, and we've all become very good friends. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's the most beautiful part about it, is we become friends.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I didn't know these two prior to last year, and I was like, where have you been? It's like, I just love the connecting with, like you said, it's a similar group, but some people can't make it some years, and you get new participants, and I just feel like you get to know a lot of the community, mm-hmm. and yes. you just kind of come from all walks of life to talk about one thing, so I think that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious as to... I always think this question when we have a topic like this. Do you get any community pushback? Are there people that think that it's something that shouldn't happen? Or do they just bite their tongue and just, okay, that's...
Well, last year there was a group of people who were
They wanted to protest.
They wanted to protest. Actually, I think it was a couple years in a row that they wanted to protest it.
Wow.
And so. And had said they were going to protest. But the funny thing is, when it came to, and we were actually fully prepared for them to show up at the show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And but they didn't. They actually didn't show, which was. Which was nice for for whatever reason they changed their minds at the last minute, I guess. I don't know, but we don't really get like a whole lot of pushback, but that's not to say that it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a lot of people it is an uncomfortable topic, and we do focus on violence against women, and we do, you know, we talk about things that are very sensitive subjects for
and
some,
very important subjects.
Yes.
You know,
so and
it just this sort of flows into missing and murdered women.
Yes,
you know, stolen sisters.
Mm-hmm.
There's really, when it comes right down to it, just sort of shifting gears here a little bit. It's the big picture, you know. It's societal, and to me, something like the Vagina Monologues is a component of that. You know, changing attitudes, and that's. One of the reasons why I think that it's very important. It just fits right in, you know. We had Jill talking about the sort of things that they need to discuss with university students who are just leaving home, and they don't have the education, or they haven't had the discussion, this is part of that discussion, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. It runs along the same lines, yes.
Yeah.
We encourage men to come to the show to get educated if they don't know about it. And it's also a way to tell the women that they need to speak up if something like that's happening to them, or if they know somebody to help them.
I think that's an important point, though, that men are welcome. And not only are men welcome, they're encouraged.
Yes.
And celebrated, actually, if they come and participate and they're not kind of like weirded out and kind of scared about whatever is being discussed. It's good to just kind of like, you know, let it all be open-minded and come out and support.
It's about supporting the women in your life, supporting your community, giving back to your community.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I have to say, I think that it's something that's really valuable. And at some point, I suppose, you know, everything has a life, and there'll come a point where okay, we've gone down this path long enough, but I don't think you're there yet.
No, I agree with you. We aren't there yet. I mean, the reality is that women aren't encouraged to talk about their sexuality. They're not encouraged to talk about their vaginas, and it's much more acceptable for men to have those discussions amongst themselves, and there's this perception that it's okay for men to talk about their own sexuality, and it's okay for men to talk about women and their sexuality, but it's not okay for women to talk about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why we do this show, is to get that conversation going, right? And to raise awareness and to invite people into the conversation, male or female, right? And to give them the opportunity to hear these stories and to maybe have their own input and to maybe, you know, with our hope being that we're changing attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think it's so important. And I think one of the reasons is that we've got a different dynamic in family life today. I can remember, not my family particularly, we're pretty dysfunctional, but I can
everyone's.
but I can remember going to visit some friends of mine in a large family. And they would tell you, and I heard some of the discussions myself, there was, you know, sex being discussed from little kids up to the biggest kids, and the whole deal is, of course, when you're talking, having talks with kids, is you only talk about what they can understand, you know, and you answer every question to the limit of their understanding, you know, but a lot of that doesn't happen in families today. So when our legislators and otherwise leaders say, oh, we should leave it to the family, well, that would be good if it actually happened in the family, you know. But I think to a large extent it's not. So that's why discussions like this are required, I think.
Yeah, and I'm of the belief that if we're not educating, especially within the families, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we're not educating our children and our young people and our families, somebody else is.
Exactly. There's a vacuum.
Right? So, yeah.
And somebody's going to fill that vacuum.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you learn on the street.
Yeah, and they're not necessarily going to get the right information, right?
No.
So we want to ensure that the right information is being put out there. And yes, it's information that makes people uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
but that's the whole idea. You know, and as our earlier speaker had said, we cannot fix something along the lines of we can't fix what we don't discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so...
We have to have that discussion.
We have to have that discussion.
You sit there and you help them with their homework. Why can't you sit there and help them
exactly.
with their sexual totally. Education?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the time, too, like families, we're not all the same, right? We don't all deal with the same problems that are being discussed. So it's really important to just kind of get out there and just... educate yourself. It's like maybe you don't have to worry about certain problems, but it's good to just see them through other people's perspectives and mm-hmm. kind of like open your mind to what people are going through in life and kind of, you know, learn from yeah. that and attack it.
Yeah, I'm going back to Lonnie's point though. You know, if you don't have that discussion at home, it's going to happen someplace else,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have control over where that's going to happen. Who the conversation is going to be with, and there may be some attitudes that you don't particularly want passed on, you know?
Exactly.
They're not necessarily good attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can think of some cultures where, boy, you'd like to see some changes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they won't change unless you challenge them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So happy we live in Canada. We can say what we want and... you know, educate everybody, and, you know, everybody has that right, so hopefully that can spread across the world. So.
Right, yeah. I'm just wondering, just coming back to the vagina model, do you have any favorite stories that...
I think the favorite one is the one where she likes to make vaginas happy.
Okay.
It's the yeah. different kinds of moans.
Oh, yes.
is our that same woman. Actress going to do it again?
Yeah, we do have Rhonda. Rhonda Donay has committed to filling that role again this year, and she mm-hmm. is absolutely fabulous. So we actually wait for that portion of the show,
yeah.
and it's just, it's so absolutely wonderful because the crowd just... I think they're more shocked than anything when she first starts to do it,
right?
And there's this little uncomfortable silence at the beginning, and then all of a sudden the whole entire room just erupts, right? Because it's just she's so fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose you're going to have some first timers there, and they don't know quite how to react to what they're hearing.
Yes.
And so I'm sure there's a bit of looking around. Well. How is everybody else reacting to what they're hearing here?
Am I allowed to laugh at this?
Yeah.
I think they could just react how they want to react.
Yeah.
I mean, it's natural. Act natural.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very open-minded group of people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And the wonderful thing about the stories is there is such a wide variety within the stories. And all of these stories are... I mean, they're every woman's story, right? There is a part, there's a part in that, in the entire show, that you're going to relate to,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, there's probably more than one piece that you're going to relate to, and the men as well, mm-hmm. actually, when they think about the women in their lives, and I think that's what's so wonderful about it, is that it does bring people together as a community, and it helps to raise awareness, but mm-hmm. it also entertains, you know, and yeah, that's...
I'm just curious here in terms of ages. Do you have any kind of a youngest age limit for people attending, or is it...
Not really. We kind of leave that up to the discretion of the parents.
Okay.
Because there is vulgar mm-hmm. language,
right.
swears, mm-hmm. obviously sexual...
Mm-hmm.
Content mm-hmm. and but we leave that up to the parents if they're comfortable with bringing their children
mm-hmm.
12, 13, then we're fine with that too.
Right. I suppose the thing is, what that could do as far as children is concerned is spark discussion at home.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, which would be another good thing to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So whereabouts is this going to happen?
It's at the Exchange.
Okay.
Sunday, March 8th, and show starts at 7 o'clock.
Sunday, March 8th, 7 o'clock at the Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of us who, well, we know where the Exchange is. There are people in this town who don't know where the Exchange is. Mm-hmm. So where can they find the Exchange?
It's,
stumping.
behind Dudney,
7th Avenue.
Oh, okay.
It is? Okay.
Oh, perfect.
All right. And I don't know the exact address myself, but we can tell people that it's on 8th Avenue, just east of Albert. And
it is in the Warehouse District.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's in the Warehouse District, and it's just before the railway tracks.
Yes.
That kind of nails it down pretty good.
Tickets can be purchased at Vintage Vinyl on 11th Avenue, mm-hmm. and also at Tatanka Boutique on Albert Street.
Also, there'll be some tickets available at the U of R Women's Center.
So is it going to be admission by ticket, pre-sold ticket only, or is there going to be an admission at the door as well?
We encourage you to get the tickets beforehand.
Okay.
Last year, there was... You can purchase tickets at the door, but those are standing room only.
Sure.
As we've sold out. So, and we don't really want to turn anybody down, but mm-hmm. we encourage you to get your tickets.
Okay.
And the Exchange, the address is 2431 8th Avenue.
Wow. Hey, we're in the digital age here.
Just 2 minutes.
Well, I think what I'm just going to just... encourage people one more time about the Look and Listen Lottery. Don't forget, we've got a trip for two to London, England that you could win, and the tickets are only $20, and there's only 1,200 tickets that are going to be sold. So if you would like to support CJTR, Regina Community Radio, and all the wonderful things we do with great music programming and spoken word programming, which you've just been listening to over the past hour here, then please call us up and buy a ticket, or come down here in person and buy a ticket. We would be happy to give you one. And I would like to thank Lonnie and Chelsea and Maria for coming here and talking about the Vagina Monologues. I'm really getting excited about going myself again. It's an experience. I have to say that a guy considering going to the Vagina Monologues, it is an experience, and you will probably feel a little uncomfortable.
And you'll meet a lot of amazing women.
That's right. So you want to meet amazing women, come to the Vagina Monologues.
Thank you for inviting us.
As we close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For information on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."